Okay.
So we concluded last week analyzing the Rambam Shita of Chiyuv Ksuva as he elaborates in Mor Nevuchim and in Atshuva. And what emerges is that according to Rambam, that the Chiyuv of a Ksuva is definitional to the relationship that you're going to have with any woman. So Rambam says, Koda Matan Torah, where there was no concept of a Kinyan Kiddushin. So the only formal relationship that you had was the Chiyuv Ksuva in a different form. Right? So Ram said that the Gedi that Yehuda gave to Tamar was his payment for their relationship. So we suggested last week that this is a form of a Chiyuv Sher Ksus Va'ona. That by definition, any time you engage in a relationship with any woman, so there are Chiyuvim and responsibilities that come along with it. So in the case of Ksuva, it's the Chiyuv of Masayim or Maneh. Or maybe Kodem Matan Torah didn't have a shir. And in the case of Shir Ksus Va'ona, the Torah imposes these other chiyuvim, to provide her mizonos, to provide her with tashmish, and to provide her with clothes. So today we want to analyze this chiyuv of Shir Ksus Va'ona. So the Torah in Parsh Mishpatim in Shmos Chaf Aleph, the Torah says, Im levno yadena kemishpat habanos yasela. And then v'im acheres yikachlo she'ira ksusa v'onasa lo yigra. Right, so it's very surprising that the Torah introduces the mitzvah of she'ira ksusa v'ona in the context of Ame Ibriya and Mishpatim, and not in the context of Ishas that we find in Parshas Kiseitzai and Sefer Dvarim. So we'll come back to that point. But the first question we want to analyze is, what's the relationship between these three different dinim? You have she'ira ksusa and ona. So are we dealing with a single chiyuv that has three different manifestations? Maybe we're dealing with three different kinds of chiyuvim. Maybe there aren't even three different kinds of chiyuvim. And maybe Sher Ksus and Ona point to, don't point to three different things. So the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, Reish Samech Beis. So the Rambam counts one lav for all three of these dinim. And the Rambam seems to point to a common theme. Shelo yane osa. They're telling you, don't cause her any pain. Don't cause her distress. So in the Pesukim, you have Sher Ksus Va'ona. Ram says it's one lav. And that one lav has one mechayiv. Don't cause her any pain. Shelo yane osa. The Sefer Achinoch in Mitzvah Mem Vav, he follows the Rambam's counting a single lav. But he formulates it a little differently. Rather than saying Shelo yane osa, so he's a little more neutral. Shelo ligroa davar me'ela. He's not pointing to a single mechayiv. He's not saying the mechayiv here is tsar. But shelo ligroa davar me'ela. These are the three basic rights that a woman has when she walks into marriage. The lav is to diminish any one of them. So there's one lav, but you don't have the same unifying principle that you have in the Rambam. The smak already diverges from the Rambam and the Chinuch. The smak in mitzvah Resh Ayin Zayin. So the smak counts the mitzvah of She'er, to provide her with mizonos. In Resh Ayin Ches, he groups together Ona and Ksus. And so the smak doesn't want to say that there's one lav. He doesn't want to say that there are three separate mitzvos. He wants to say there are two principles, and the breakdown is Ksus and Ona on the one hand, with She'er on the other. Right, so it seems like he sees a divide between the Chiyuv Mizonos and the obligation to provide her with tashmish and with clothes. Rav Sajigon divides them even further. Rav Sajigon in Mitzvah Se, Ayin, Ayin Aleph, and Ayin Bez. He counts three different mitzvot Se of She'er, Ksus, and Ona. And so Rav Sajigon seems to be saying that these are three separate mechayvim, or at least that they exist as three separate mitzvot. Rabbi Yochanan Fishel Perlau was bothered by the switch from a lav to an asay. Right? The Rambam, the Smak, and the Chinuch all thought it was lav. The Sajigon thinks it's an asay. Where does that come from? So Rabbi Yochanan Fishel Perlau suggests that it comes from Kemishpat Habanos Yasela. It's still a bit counterintuitive, because then you would think that it's really just one asay of Mishpat Habanos Yasela. But at least he's saying the Mishpat Habanos refers to three different asays of Sher Ksus Va'ona. So already within the Minyan HaMitzvos, you can see that there's tension as to whether these three dinim pick out one mitzvah, or three separate mitzvahs, or according to the smak, two. And we turn to matters of halacha. So we'll find at least three nafgamina that seem to hinge on this question of whether Sher Ksus Va'ona are one or three concepts. The Gemara in Ksuvis and Daf Nun Vav Med Aleph, famous Gemara, Mekadish HaManasha Ein Lecha Alai Sher Ksus Va'ona. So Gemara says that the Tanai is Kayim. If you hold Davar Shalmamun, Tanai Kayim. So Rashi there says that the Tanai is Kayim only on sharing Ksus, but not on Ona. Rashi in Madura Kama elaborates, according to Shinuk Betzas, because Ona is Tsar Haguf and Lo Mochlele. It's not clear if Rashi means that in principle she can't be Mochel, or by default we assume she wasn't Mochel. But Rashi is already telling us that Shir, Ksus, and Ona are not a single block. Right, so when you make this Tanai, Amash Kasa Batorah, the Tanai could be Chal on Davar Shel Mamon, sharing Ksus, but Ona is of a fundamentally different kind of a Chiyuv. They were all quoting Rabbeinu Chanana on the Ritva on his own. They disagree with this Rashi, and they want to say that Afilu Ona, even Ona is Nitan L'Mechila. Okay, so the simple way of understanding this Machlokas is to say that maybe it's just about the nature of the Chiyuv Ona. But even that, to a certain degree, begs the question, well, why would you assume that Ona is a different kind of a Chiyuv from sharing Ksus? Okay, so the way we wanted to approach this in Shir is to say that perhaps what they're arguing about is this question. Can you separate between the different Chiyuvim of sharing Ksus and Ona? The Ritva and the Ra'ah want to say that you can't. You're dealing with a single kind of a Chiyuv of Ishus. And Rashi wants to say that they're, and Rashi and the Rambam want to say that they're different entities. Another nafkamin in halacha is minchas chinuch in mitzvah mem vav sifkatan tes. He's very bothered by this question. If shir ksus and ona appear in the mitzvah of yud in parshas mishpatim, so the gemara in kedushin paskins that yud is erusin osa. It turns her into an arusa. It doesn't turn her into a nesua. So if you connect the dots, it follows that the chiv of shir ksus and ona, which is explicated in the parsha of Yud, which is Erisin, should be totally on Erisin and not on Nisuin. Right, so why do we tend to assume that the Chiv Shir Ksus and Ona only go into effect Bishas Nisuin? So he quotes the Pnei Yeshua in Ksuvis Mem Zayinim Beis, and he says, well, look, of course the mitzvah of Ona could only go into effect Bishas Nisuin. No one's going to say you have a Chiv Tashmish before the Nisuin. So l'chora hu adin for the other two as well. Okay, so once again, the same assumption exists here in the Pnei Yeshua. Shir Ksus and Ona are one kind of a chiyuv. If it's true for Ona that could only go into effect b'shas nesuin, then clearly hu adin for Shir and Ksus as well. So same kind of reasoning. A third nafkamina, perhaps Tosos in Ksuvis on Memchesa Mer Aleph is discussing Shitas Reb Elazar ben Yaakov. And from the Gemara, it appears that Reb Elazar ben Yaakov only holds that Ksus is Midaraisa. I share Ksus va'ona, lefi she'era ten Ksusa, and lefum onasa ten Ksusa. Right, so both share and ona are modifications of Ksus. Give her winter clothing in the winter and summer clothing in the summer, and you have to give her clothing according to her size. So Tosus there quotes this Tosefta, that you could derive the chiyuvim of mizonos and ona from the chiyuv of ksus. So it says, if you're chayiv in ksus, which is not davar sha nefesh taliba, I'm paraphrasing, so then kol shekein you're going to be chayiv mizonos, which is something she needs for her actual sustenance. And if you're chayiv for things that seem to lie on the periphery of the marriage, sharing ksus, then kol shekein you're going to be chayiv for something that she... you know, she assumes it's inherent in the chiyuv ish. It's inherent to being married that she has ona. As Tosa says, the Torah can tell you that you have a chiyuv ksus, and logically you could deduce share and ona as well. So Tosa also seems to assume that they have the same mechayiv, because if the Torah is telling you that you only have a mechayiv of variety X, right, you only have a chiyuv of ksus, right, let's say it's not tsunua for your wife to walk around without clothing, or with clothing that don't fit, or with summer clothes in the winter, or winter clothes in the summer. Right. So it's hard to see how it can't be tsanua for somebody to wear winter clothes in the summer. Right, so it's probably not a din in tsnia, it's probably a din in just decency. So if you're dealing with separate kinds of mechayvim, it's much harder to say that you could derive she'er and ona from ksus. Okay, so Tosa seems to assume that they're one kind of a chiyuv. So that would also be a nafkamina to this question. A third kind of a question that depends on whether they're one chiyuv or three separate ones. There's the question of what's doraisa and what's drabanan. Rashi in his Perashat Torah seems to say that all three, sher ksus ben onar doraisa. The Ramban is already upset, and the Ramban says no, only the chiyuv onah is doraisa, and both sher and ksus are referring to chiyuvim that are derivatives of onah. Okay, so you have a chiyuv to give her ksus mita, and you have to have nice blankets. So whereas a simple reading seems to refer to three separate chiyuvim, the Ramban wants to say that no, only the chiyuv of onah is going to be doraisa. Mizonos and ksus, those are already periphery. The Reim in Mitzvah Kuf Yud Zayin, he's discussing the sheet of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and he wants to say Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is kipshuto. The only chiyuv doraisa is ksus. Now this is in contrast to the sheet of Tosus that we just quoted, where Tosus wants to say that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is telling you ksus, that's what the Torah says, but you could derive share and ona from it. The Reim says no. The only chiyuv midaraisa is going to be ksus. The Shiltos in Mitzvah Samech has a different breakdown. He thinks that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, ksus will be doraisa. Ona, of course, is going to be doraisa because ona is lo tzvicha kra. Mizonos will be drabanan. And it actually turns out that the Shiltos has a parallel breakdown to the Smak, because the Smak wanted to group ona together with ksus and separate mizonos in terms of the meaning of mitzvos. The Shiltos is doing the same thing in terms of doraisa or drabanan. Ksus and onar doraisa. Ksus in the Torah, ona is lo tzvicha kra. Mizonos will be a din rabbanan. Okay, so in terms of three different questions, you have an afkamina to this issue of whether they're one entity or three. You have a question of minina mitzvos. You have in different areas of halacha, which we give three nafkamina, the question of tanai and whether ona goes along with the other two. The Minchas Chinuch's question whether it should be totally on the erusin or nisuin, and the Pnei Yeshua solution that you could generalize from ona. And maybe whether you could deduce the chiv of share and ona from ksus, according to Tosan and Chesimid Aleph. And then this third category of what you deem to be daraisa and what is drabanan. But this all begs, yeah.
Just to clarify.
Sure.
Are we talking about whether the three different items or three different units?
Are those exclusive categories in your mind?
We can say that they're all mechayvim and ishas, but each of them are distinct mechayvim and ishas. Let's say they're all mechayvim and mamma. Still, they're all one.
Okay, so I definitely don't mean that one category would mean they're mechayvim and ishas. I don't mean that.
You wouldn't mean that.
Right. Unless you think that the chiyuv sher ksus and ona are not, like there's a way to talk about them without talking about them as a chiyuv and ishas. Let me phrase this differently, actually. Because my next line here is to say is that I take it as axiomatic that the chiyuv of shir, ksus, and ona are chiyuvim and ishos. I guess that's the only way you could talk about them. Right? I don't think you could talk about a chiyuv of ona in some other relationship. You can't talk about a dine mamon as chiyuv ona. You can't talk about an eved and a rav chiyuv ona. Right?
Okay, but you
can
talk about an
Eved Rav Yishin Zonos. So you want to say that this Chiyuv Zonos is like that kind of Chiyuv Zonos?
Unless you say Haimuhaf, Eved Rav Yishin
Yishin. Okay, so, I would clearly acknowledge that you could have a Chiyuv Zonos in different areas of Halacha, but the Chiyuv here of Mizonos is clearly spelled out in the context of Ishos. Right? You might say it happens to overlap with other areas as well.
I'm saying like the idea of like the Amma Ivriya, where it might just be about like...
That's only when you marry her.
Right, but still, if it was just about Isha, so why is the focus on the Amma Ivriya so much?
Okay, so we'll discuss that. Okay, but right now we take it as axiomatic that the Chiyuv Sher Ksus Ven Ona spelled out in the context of Yud is clearly driven by an obligation of marriage.
Okay, so we're saying independent of their nature, are they all part of one unit or separate?
Correct. These are all marital obligations. The question is, do they spell out different kinds of marital obligations?
Oh, okay, fine. Meaning, we're still asking if it's like different kinds. Meaning, one could still say even if they're the same kind, we could still ask whether we look at them as being distinct and totally in each other or not. One package deal or three separate things.
Okay. I'm not sure I understand that, so let me just let me flesh out what I'm going to flesh out, and then if that doesn't answer the question, then you could push me on it. Okay. So let's assume that these are all chiyuvim and ishus right now, but we have to ask another question. A, why would you distinguish between shir, ksus, and ono? Why would you want to say that some are doraisa and some are drabanan? And secondly, even though these are all chiyuvim in ishus, right, they're obligations in the marriage, how definitional are they to marriage? I mean, I might say that in a case where I get married, so Torah obligates me with chiyuv shir, ksus, and ono. But do I think that marriage, in some sense, is defined by there being these chiyuvim of shir, ksus, and ono? Could you talk sensibly about ishus without the concomitant chiyuvim of shir, ksus, ono? Okay? That's what I mean. It's certainly a chiyuv of ishus, but the question right now is whether you think it's definitional to it. So let me give a couple of nafkamina to this question. Tosos in ksuvis, Nunvav Mabes, on the sugya of Shirks Enoch, Amanasha Enoch Alai Shirks Osvona. So Tosos thinks that by definition, if you say Amanasha Enoch Alai Din Shirks Osvona, so there's no Kiddushin Lechatzayin. I mean, it's impossible to talk about a Chi of Kiddushin that doesn't come along with the Chi of Shirks Osvona. It's inherent to the concept of Ishus. And to talk about Ishus without Chiyuv Shir Ksus V'Ona is to cease to be talking about Ishus any longer. You're talking about some other concept. So it's impossible to talk about Ishus without these Chiyuvim. Another nafkamina might be the Shita of Rambam. I don't have the halacha for you, but the Smak quotes the Shita of the Rambam. What happens if the Baal can't be Mesapik Mizonos L'Ishto anymore? Okay, he can't provide food any longer for his wife. So Rambam seems to pasken that there's a chiyuv for him to be megarisher. Right now he has an obligation to get divorced. Because it's so definitional to what it means to be married is that you could provide for this woman. If you cease to be able to provide for her, then you have a chiyuv to break down the ishus. Ad kedei kach is the definition of ishus contingent on the chiyuv mizonos. Rabbi Eliyahu quoted in the Smak also has a different shita. He doesn't think that you have a chiyuv legarish. But he thinks the Baal is chayiv lahaskir es atzma l'sapik l'mizonos. He has to hire himself out in order to provide food for her. Now he might have said, okay, it's a chiyiv. Right? It's a chiyiv to provide her mizonos. And if you can't, you have no resources left, so okay. Fine, the marriage goes on. But Rabbi Leo is saying no. The Baal now has an active chiyiv to go ahead and rent himself out, to lease himself out so he could provide mizonos for his wife. I don't think that's as strong as the Rambam Shita, they have a Chiyuv Legarish, but it's certainly in that spirit. Another nafkamina, or another indication that we're dealing with something that's definitional to Ishus, is the Ramban Ala Torah. Right, the Ramban defines Shir, Ksus, and Ona, all three of them in terms of a Chiyuv Ona. Right, they all pertain to their intimate relationship. So the Ramban says, well, what happens if you don't give her Ksus Mita? So Ramban says that's kibal apilegesh. It's like somebody who's having relations with a pilegesh. Uchibal isha zona. Like as if you're being baal a zona. Now this is very surprising because the Ramban himself, we know from the tshuva, and the tshuvas miyuchasos l'rashba, which is the tshuva of the Ramban. The Ramban thinks that pilegesh is mutter. Right? There's no iser znus when you're being baal a pilegesh. So here the Ramban is saying that if you don't provide the chiyuvim of ona in the right way, so it's keili or bol is ona because now you're dealing with her like a pilagesh. So how is that sensible? The Ramban himself thinks that pilagesh is mutter. So the answer lies in something else the Ramban writes in that tshuva, where the Ramban says that if your agreement with the woman is that you're going to marry her like a pilagesh, so then none of the chiyuvim of ishus kick in. Right? So you don't have to make birchas chasanim, you don't need nisuin. Right, so it's just mutter for you by virtue of your agreement with her. But if you decide to marry a woman under the conditions of ishus, then it's mechayev all the dinim of ishus, mechayev nesun, it's mechayev birchas chasanim. And if you don't provide those chiyuvim, so then the bias could be asnus. So Ramban is making a similar argument over here. It's true that l'chatchila you could decide to evolve her like a pilagash. But if you agree to ishus, which entails the chiyuv of ona, and ksus, mikasa, and all the periphery chiyuvim of ona, so in the moment you do away with those things, you're dealing with a bias nus. Because you've undermined part of the definition of what it means to have a normal ishus. Yeah.
Is there a Rambam's point is that without Ona, if it's the Derech Mikra, then it's the Dulangesh. And if it's the Al Ha'aretz, it's the Isha's Ona.
Okay. That's without Ksus Mita.
It seems not like it's the Dulangesh, therefore it's a. No, one of them seems like Ona, one of them seems like Ksus.
How do you get that?
Because Mikra, Derech Mikra.
He just says, "Vatam, shelo tiyah acheres yoshevas la mita kvoda, v'hayusham lebasar echad, v'zu imo kipilegesh." What does it mean, kipilegesh? Yishkav ima b'derech mikra v'al aretz kebal isha zona. Doesn't sound that way to me. V'zu imo kipilegesh yishkav ima b'derech mikra. Right, he's saying this woman is now being treated like a pilagesh. How? Because he's yishkav ima b'derech mikra. It's too casual. Right, probably referring to the times. And ala aretz, and he's also being bowled her on the ground instead of aksos mita. And both of those constitute kibal isha zona. That's not how you read it. Alright, I'm saying.
What?
So you think you could read it? You could read it differently.
Good.
I didn't read it that way. I don't think it makes as much sense.
Where's that Tshuva?
Tshuva the Ramban? I don't have a number on top of my head. But it's Tshuva's Miyuchasos in the Rashba. And it's Resh Pei Dalet. Something like that. Another indication of this idea that it's definitional to the Ishus, this is a suggestion. So we return to the question of how come the Torah presents the Chiv of Shirksus and Ona in the Parsha of Ame Ivriya. Right, Torah should have just spelled it out in the Chivim of Ishus, right, in Parsha Kiseitze. Right, if you want to marry somebody, you have a Chiv of Shirksus and Ona, and if things don't go right, they name Gershon, whatever you have in the Psukim there. But here the Torah says, V'im acheres yikach lo, Shirksus avonasa lo yigra. Right? So the Torah is talking in the context of Yiyud, and the Torah says you can't undermine the obligations that you have to her, which are Shirksus and Ona. Torah should have just told us constructively what those Chiyuvim are. I think you could just suggest very simply that it's because the Torah takes it as given that there are Chiyuvim that go along with Ishos. The Torah says, Ki yikach ish isho v'ala. Right? When you get married. Now it's clear that there are responsibilities that come along with the definition of Ishus. So the Torah never has to spell them out in the mitzvah of Kiddushin. But when the Torah is talking about Ama Ivriya, where you might have thought that you could get away with something less than marriage, because she started off as a slave, so the Torah says, "Oh, imacheres yikalo sherekzus v'ona." So you can't go below the minimum bar of marriage. And what is that, by the way? That's sherekzus v'ona. So the Torah is intentionally not discussing sherekzus and ona in the chivim of Ishus, because the Torah takes it as given that these are definitional to what Ishus is. Elsewhere, when the Torah is talking about Am Yiriyah, the Torah says, by the way, you can't dip below the minimum Chiyuv. That's a suggestion. And that would explain why the Rishonim want to count this as a lav. You're not going to count the mitzvah of Kiddushin and to provide your wife with Shirksus and Ona. No. It's embedded in the concept of the responsibility of marriage that you have these Chiyuvim. True, there's a lav that you're not allowed to undermine, you're not allowed to go below what you owe her. I think that might explain that idea. This is similar to what the Shiltos is suggesting about Ona. The Shiltos is saying that Ona is lo tzricha kra. Now, you don't need a gzeres hakasa to tell you that you have a chiyuv tashmish as part of the obligations of marriage. Why? It's inherent to the concept. Right, so perhaps these other Rishonim would say that no, all three chiyuvim of Shirksus and Ona are embedded in the concept of marriage. So the Torah only has to spell it out in the context of Amevriya. That's a suggestion. Those are, I think, four manifestations of this discussion of whether it's definitional to the Chiv of Ishus. Whether you think that it's considered a Kiddushin Lechatzayin, according to Tosos, whether you have a Chiv Legarish under conditions where you can't provide Mizonos, the Ramban al Torah that once you cut below the Chiv of Ona and Ksus Mita, you're dealing with the Bilasnus, and maybe this idea also of how the Torah wants to present the Chiv of Shirksus and Ona. Here we could ask a third question. When we say that it's definitional to the Chiv of Ishus, and I think this cuts to your point, Eli, when the Torah says that these are part of the obligations of marriage. So you might want to ask which dimension of the Chiyuv Ishas. Does it pertain to the kinyan, right, to the acquisition? Let's give the analogy here of maybe obligations that a master has to his servants. Right? I own you and therefore I have responsibilities to you. I have a kinyan in you and therefore I'm obligated towards you. Or does it pertain, and here we'll use the Rav's term, maybe it's not as felicitous as we would like, the term of the existential relationship. Right? And I think by this we mean that it pertains to either the psychological relationship between them, right? Or if you want to use more dated philosophical terms, you might want to say it pertains more to the I-thou relationship than to the I-it relationship. Right? I think that covers it. Right? Is that intuitive? Is that an intuitive distinction, the I-thou relationship to the I-it relationship? No? Okay, it's Martin Buber's term, but you have to realize that when Martin Buber became a professor in Hebrew U, so they asked him, you know, how's your Hebrew? You know, you're coming over from Germany, could you lecture in Hebrew? So he says, yeah, he's like, my Hebrew is great enough to lecture in, but it's not good enough to be obscure in. So this distinction comes from him. So the I thou and the I it. But I think the I thou means like it's more of a personal, you know, highly charged relationship. It's existential. It pertains to the very existence of these two people. And the ayat is more like a subject-object. Right? Like, you know, myself and my books. Myself and my servants. So the question is, how do you want to construe the existential relationship of Ishas? So one shita that takes a very strong stand on this question is the Ravid in Bali and Nefesh. Right? So the Ravid cites the psukim of Bereishis, V'davak v'ishto v'hayu l'basar echad. And he says, therefore, it's contained in the concept of Vidavak Beishto, is that the Baal has a chiyuv to provide Sherexus and Ona. Why? Because if you understand the existential relationship here as the woman being Ke'echad Me'evarav, she's part of who he is, that's, I mean, it's a subject-subject relationship. So he says, just like I have a chiyuv to provide sustenance to my own body, and I decide to, well, it's involuntary, but, you know, I sustain my entire guf. So I have the same natural obligation to sustain my wife. It's a natural outgrowth of a davak v'ishto v'hayu l'basar echad. As you can already see, that pertains more to this existential dimension than to the kinyan. It doesn't mean I bought her and therefore I have chivim towards her. He's pointing to some stronger reality that obligates me in sherek sosvona. Also, the Raivad there throws in one line. He says, you have a chiv l'safka b'sherek sosvona. I think he also has a phrase of like v'gam like kol tzuracheha, like whatever the needs that she, whatever it is that she needs. Right? So I think that's very much l'shitaso. Hashir k'sus v'nona aren't like, you know, chakuk beluchos avanim. The Torah says you're chayiv in X, Y, and Z. Right? No, it's a natural outgrowth of the nature of the relationship, and mimelo that would include things that are kol tzuracheha, whatever it is that she needs. You could contrast this approach of the Ravid with the approach of the Sefer Abatim. Sefer Abatim in Mitzvah, wrote it down before, I think it's Reish Samech Beis, I might be wrong. The Sefer Abatim in Mitzvah Reish Samech Beis says, why does the Torah present the Chiv of Sherek Sus and Ona in the context of Ama Ivriya? Because she's Mechuralo. She's sold to him. So the Torah has to make it really clear that she's sold to you and you still have Chiyuvim towards her. She's your kinyan. And you would have thought that since she's your kinyan, you could just get away with nothing. The Torah says, no, nonetheless, you have a chiv sherek sosanona. Okay? So you can see how the Sefer Abatim thinks that fundamentally the relationship here is kimechuralo. And afal pichein, there are obligations of sherek sosanona. Yes? What? No. Because she's no longer mechuralo now that they're married. Yeah, but now you have the Kenyan.
I mean, since he bought her off the slave market, he doesn't have to treat her so nicely as a regular woman.
Okay, so. Did you read the Sefer about him?
Yeah.
So it's kasha on your memory then.
Yeah.
Kavanas azharazu mevu eres. Me'asher ha'isha hi kimechura labaila. Here he's describing the relationship between a man and his wife. Right? It's a relationship of Ishus is Kimachur Labaila. So therefore Hutzuchu Azhar Shalola Anosa. I say, yeah, I own this woman. So maybe I have no obligation towards her. The Torah says you have a chiyuv to pay her kedei lahashlim kol chuka harayla. Right. So the Torah presents this in the context of Ami Ivriya because that's the paradigm of cases where she's kimachurla. Because not only is she sold to you now, she was even sold to you before she was married.
So then so you're just saying then how do you? The maskana's not clear.
Well, it seems the maskana seems to be despite the fact that she's kimachurla, he still has an obligation to lola anosa. Can't cause her pain.
Despite the fact that she's mechurla, there's also this existential connection bond.
That's less persuasive, right?
Maybe.
Despite the fact that she's my kinyan. Oh, so chiyuv shirchas nona stems from the Ravid and Balyanapa.
You only have this kinyan on.
He doesn't say that. He says the chiyuv shlola anosa. So you want to say when he says I can't cause her pain, he means because I'm existentially committed to her. I mean, presumably you have a chiyuv not to cause me pain either, right? You don't think we're existentially bonded.
But you're also not my kinyan.
What?
You're also not my kinyan. So, I'm saying whether it's working out.
So you think whenever you have a kinyan, whenever you have a kinyan plus a chiyuv, shlola anosa, then you would have an existential bond. Right? So whenever you have a kinyan plus a chiyuv, shlola anos, then you'd be existentially committed.
So
that's what you're trying to say?
Well,
that's
what you're suggesting. You're saying the reason why in our relationship we don't have that is because there's no kinyan.
No, I'm saying you're trying to say that the fact that there's like an Isra Talanos Ba, it can't be because of the existential bond, because everyone else you can't be Anos Ba, you don't have an existential bond. I'm saying, so too with your logic, everyone else you don't have a kinyan and you still can't be Anos Ba.
Because initially I thought that you were saying that shlola anospa is sufficient to imply the commitment, the existential commitment. And now you're saying, no, it's really anospa, shlola anospa plus a kinyan.
No, not necessarily plus a kinyan.
You're saying just stop, but there's no reason to infer that from here, right? You agree. Yeah. Kavanas azhar azum uvu eres. Ma'asher ha'isha hi kimechura labayla. Right, since she's a soul to you. Hutzucha azhar shlola anosa kedei lahashlim kol chuka harayla. Uva ha'azharam yuchedes ba'ame irya l'fisha ha'nimkaris la'ama hishvela v'afshar sha'ima l'chalo l'isha l'chashkoba v'ulai kasher yimali tavasa mimena yivazena kasher yizkar shiflusa v'yimna mimena harayla. I mean, it's all preventative, right? She's like your slave. You would have thought you could treat your slaves badly. Kamash mon, you can't. Whereas the Ravid is saying, whoa, Ishos is basar echad. So of course you have a chiyuv there. Right? Those seem radically different. I don't see how you could get the Ravid out of the Sefer Abatim. Yeah, Shem Tzarcha Yishav Hanosah. Sounds like it's a general principle. He's obligated to Tzarcha Yishav Hanosah. Okay.
Akir's coming to defend him.
Akir, you're coming to defend him?
Not quite.
Okay, so let's hear what you have to say.
Did you say in Sefer Abatim, it sounds kind of like the Chiyuv stems neither from existential issue, nor from the kinyan, but kind of just from, you know, part of, you know, if you say shalanos, but it sounds like it's a general part of a general idea of like not hurting people and just the mitzvahs of this situation. It happens to be there are certain ways you can hurt this woman, which you wouldn't be able to hurt anyone else, and that's why the chiyuv are particular to her. But the chiyuv itself stems from kind of just, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
So that's different from saying it stems from the kinyan.
Right. Right. I wasn't using the Sefer Abatim to say it stems from the kinyan. I was using the Sefer Abatim as a contrast to the Ravid.
Okay.
Right?
So is there a shita that says it stems from the kinyan?
Doesn't Sefer Abatim say at the beginning that it stems from the
kinyan? Maybe.
No.
He says, since she's mechura labayla, you'd have thought you could do whatever you want to her. Kamashman, you can't. But it doesn't mean that the kinyan is the machayiv of the shekhsis vona.
Exactly the opposite. The kinyan is the reason for that.
Right. So, I mean, he doesn't either say. I mean, he's phrasing this as a lav. Right? He doesn't either say that there is a chiyuv shekhsis in order that stems from anything. He's saying you can never go below basic life support. Or, I don't know. I'm not sure if I could give you a shita that says explicitly it's from the kinyan. But I think if you find people who don't want to buy into the Ravid or say it's Tali on the Suin, So then you would have that. Maybe like Deyas that think it's a Taliyah and he gives man veloniso. If you think there's no Nisuin yet and yet the Chiv Mezonos kicks in Midaraisa, so it can't come from anywhere else except for the Kenyan.
If you think it's an Asai.
Shirak says a no. So let me give you a second nafkamina to where whether this pertains to the Kenyan or to the existential relationship. The Ramban ala Torah, right, who wants to say that this is just a din in Ona, right? So it seems like the Ramban is motivated by saying that the only chiyuv d'oraisa that could come along with ishus is something that pertains directly to their relationship, to the intimacy. That's the Ramban would say that no, mizonos and ksus are drabanan, because those are too economic to be part of the definition, part of the real part of the existential part of marriage. So only chiyuv Ona and ksus mitasa, which is a subcategory of Ona, only those would be included d'oraisa. A third shita would be the smak. We point out in shita that the smak counts the mitzvah of shirksus and ona in two different places. He has his mitzvahs of mizonos and shirksus, but then also when he's discussing the mitzvah of shana rishona, so the smak repeats the chiyuv of ona. Right, this is very strange. And if you have a separate chiyuv shirksus and ona, why would you repeat the mitzvah in the context of shana rishona? So the idea that we suggested is that the mechayiv of Shana Rishona is v'sima achas ishto. If you look at the Sefer Achinuch's explanation of Shana Rishona, it says because the Torah wants that the teva, the nature of the husband and the wife, should become so regulated to each other and that they're only used to each other, you know, until the marriage is so strong that the husband, you know, can't even think of any other woman in the world except for his wife. Right? They spend so much time together in Shana Rishona, so he's misragel tivo. It's not clear if he means this as like a geder against nus, or as like an objective kiyam in the simach es ishto. Right? So we're spending quality time together. So what he's suggesting is that this is what the smak is saying, that Shana Rishona is about creating a certain quality of the ishos within the first year. That's inherent to the mitzvah of ona, right? It's the intimate relationship. That carries through after Shana Rishona in a weaker form, now, until their marriage terminates or forever. Right, so the analogy we gave in Shir is a kind of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and Zechira Yetzias Mitzrayim. You have Leil HaSeder, which is defined very intensely as Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Then you have the very same mitzvah, right, this is the Minina Mitzvah issue, the very same mitzvah spills over into the rest of the year for as Zechira Yetzias Mitzrayim. Right, you don't have to have a whole Seder, you don't have to have Matzah, Marer, right, but just Kriya Shema or just the mitzvah of Zechira. Right, so the point here is that really the mitzvah of Ona is existential to the Ishus. So is Shana Rishona. And the Smak is telling you that the mitzvah of Ona is inherent to both of those. It's inherent to the fundamental Ishus of Shana Rishona, and it carries through also for the rest of the marriage. Another nafkamina would be whether the mitzvah of Shirksus and Ona is totally on the Kiddushin or the Nisuin. If you think that these stem fundamentally from a Kenyan, right, just by virtue of his acquiring her, then you really should say that it depends on the Kiddushin when he's Kona her. Right, but if you think it depends on them living as a couple, right, living Chaye Ishus, then really that should be contingent on the Nisuin. Right, so here again, we just come back to the Minchas Chinuch in Mem Vav Tes and the Pnei Yeshua, where the Pnei Yeshua thinks that it has to be totally on the Nisuin because of Ona. Right? But the way we wanted to explain this in Shir is that no, because all three chiyuvim, Shir, Ksus, and Ona, are all chiyumim, and the way the Ravid wanted to put it, of v'davak v'ishto. So anything that's talia v'davak v'ishto naturally will be contingent on the nesuin and not on the kinyan kiddushin. So I think you emerge with here. So you have three questions. Right? What's the relationship between Shir, Ksus, and Ona? How definitional is Shir, Ksus, and Ona to our concept of ishus? And whether these chiyuvim hinge on the Kenyan, or whether they hinge on the Nisuin. Right? They pertain more to the Vidavak Ishto dimension of marriage. So if you want to take the weakest model, so you say all the Baal has from the Torah's perspective, the only chiyuv he has towards his wife is a chiyuv of ksus. That's that he shouldn't be running around naked outside. That's the minimum obligation the husband has to his wife as stipulated by the Torah. Right. You see, that's a very low obligation. Hard to see how that's really embedded in the nature of the davak beishta. That's just minimal decency. On the other extreme, you could say it's just ona. The only thing the Torah cares about in the context of marriage are things that pertain to the intimate life of the couple. And these are somewhat opposites. The first one is clearly looking at it more from a Kenyan perspective. And I have basic life support obligation towards the Isha, just to clothe her. The other model is saying, I don't even have economic obligations. My only chiv is as they pertain to things that she assumed were embedded in the nature of Ishas. That's mitzvah's ona. Right, so those are ways where you could isolate one chiv and say that's all there is. The Ravid is trying to do a lot more. The Ravid is saying, all three chiyuvim, sher, ksus, and ona, they all pertain to the existential dimension of a davak be'ishto. And that's because if she is kegufi, then I have all sorts of natural obligations to her. Economic, intimate, and material. Sefer Abatim, right, seems to be adopting more of Yakir's approach. Maybe none of these chiyuvim even stem from chiyuv of ishus. All these chiyuvim are coming to tell me is that I have a normal, decent, in general, I have a chiyuv towards my friends not to slight them, not to cause them any pain. Torah is telling me that my wife is found more in my jurisdiction than anybody else. So here it happens to translate into not to go below sherek susa ona. But none of those pick out anything important about a theme in Isha. So I'll call upon him. We have a whole range of shitas here as to the nature of sherek susa ona. So when we pick up with our next chazar shir, so we'll try to define a little different, we'll define a little better what it is that distinguishes the Kedushin from Nisuin. Right, here we're assuming that Kedushin seems to pick out a Kenyan, that's the acquisition of the wife to the husband, and Nisuin already assumes a natural beginning of a Davak B'Yishto. So we'll pick out in the next Chazar Shir is how that plays out in the halachic differences between the Kenyan Kedushin and the maybe non-Kenyan of Nisuin. Okay.